So thank you very much for the invitation. It is an honor to be here and speak to you. My name is Carlo Giona di Fecchia, and with that out of the way, I promise you that the most difficult part of the talk is already over. I'm a research scientist at the Vienna University of Technology in Michal Wimmer's Computer Graphics Group. I work within the intersection of machine learning and computer graphics, where in our last project, we set out to create a learning algorithm that is able to synthesize all the vegetation materials that you see here in this virtual scene. And in this talk, I will try my best to tell you about the latest research works where learning algorithms are used to transform all kinds of digital content and discuss potential applications, both good and bad. Let's start with something everyone is familiar with, Photoshop. This is an industry standard graphics editor program that was released in the 90s, and initially artists mostly used it for touching up photos. What you see here is the before and after results of such an editing workflow. Most of Photoshop is written by traditional programming. This means that we write a piece of code which is to be executed by the computer line by line, just like the code you see here. Machine learning is a subfield of computer science that takes a completely different point of view. A neural network is such a machine learning technique that endows computers with the ability to perform tasks that they were not programmed to do. To achieve this, we feed a lot of data to the computer, task it with an objective, and it will figure out the best way to achieve it. If we train such a neural network to detect human faces, as neurons in each layer combine information from the layer before, the deeper we go into these networks, the more elaborate details we're going to see within these neurons. Have a look at this example over here. The input is an image which contains pixels. In the first layer, as a combination of these pixels, much like in the human vision system, edges are formed. And as a combination of edges, object parts emerge. And in the later layers, as a combination of object parts, creates object models. And within only three layers, we have arrived to the concept of a human face. Imagine how powerful a neural network with 100 layers could possibly be. You see, it would be immensely difficult to develop a rigorous mathematical model of what a human face is, but anyone in this room is capable of immediately recognizing them. Neural networks are useful for tasks akin to this, where it is easier to show what we are looking for than provide a mathematical definition for it. A good example of this is image restoration. We know a noisy or a clean image when we see one, but it is hard to mathematically define the concept of a noisy image. This learning-based algorithm is able to restore images that are severely corrupted by noise. And for the first time, it doesn't require Photoshop or a trained artist to perform this difficult task. This is formidable progress on still images. But what about audio? I will have to apologize for not being able to show you audio samples today, but I will note that scientists at Google DeepMind came up with a remarkable neural network-based technique that takes some audio training data of a person speaking, and then we can write a piece of text that we want this person to say, and the algorithm will give us the raw audio waveform for that speech. This is Photoshop for audio. Absolutely incredible. Remarkably, this technique was published only 2 years ago and has already been referenced more than 350 times by other research works. You see, the pace of progress in machine learning research is simply staggering. So at this point, we can deal quite well with still images and audio. But to manipulate videos, we would have to change the entire video with such a degree of consistency that even a human viewer would be fooled by it. That's not challenging. That sounds flat out impossible. Or is it? Have a look at this technique where the inputs were a source video of ourselves and a target actor. And the output was a video of this target actor with our facial gestures. With such an algorithm, one can edit pre-recorded videos in real time, and the current version only needs a consumer webcam to do that. This is Photoshop for video. I will note that this algorithm is not learning-based and that Matthias Nisner has supervised this amazing work, who is with us today, and you will hear him at the panel discussion right after this talk. This other work also does something truly remarkable. Here, we have a piece of audio of a real person speaking and a target video footage, and it will retime and change this existing video so that the target person appears to be uttering these words. Here, all four of these videos are synthetic, and the same source audio signal was used for all of them. As you see, we can choose the subject to act out our audio signal in many different ways. And understandably, some are worried about the social implications of such a powerful tool. In other words, if there are tools to create forgery, then there should be tools to detect forgery as well. If we can train an AI to impersonate, why not train another AI with the goal to detect impersonation? As you imagine, this task is immensely difficult. For instance, some of these images are real and some are fake. What do you think? First one, real or fake? What about the last one? Real or fake? Well, the first one was real and the last one was fake. How many did you get right? I must confess that I didn't do much better than a coin flip. Now, these guesses were made by an AI-based technique from this year, and it can not only guess these cases correctly, but it can also show these green to red colors to showcase regions that the AI thinks were tampered with. And most of the time, it is correct. However, interestingly, this can not only identify regions that are forgeries, but it can also help improve these forgeries too. Food for thought for later discussions. What is more, a new work from this year enables us to control even the gestures of these actors with our mouse. And while we marvel at this footage, let's think about what we've seen in the last few minutes for a moment. We talked about these techniques in isolation, but never discussed that we could combine them to achieve an even more powerful effect. We discussed that we can synthesize audio from scratch. We have also seen that we can use an audio signal and retime an existing video so that the target person appears to be uttering what we wrote. If we combine these two works, we can forge a video with our desired audio and video content from scratch. We have also seen that many of these forgeries are also almost impossible to detect for the human eye. And this is just a start. We now see the extraordinary power neural networks wield in transforming digital content, and it seems that the old saying, believe nothing of what you hear and only half of what you see, rings as true as ever. Now, it seems like these techniques require computing clusters with hundreds of computers and a stupendously large budget, right? Well, quite the opposite. Almost all of these algorithms can be used by anyone who has a consumer computer that costs less than $1,000. In terms of time complexity, many of these methods run in real time, and even the slowest one takes only several hours. Now, it is not hard to see that such techniques could be used for malevolent purposes, such as making a test subject of our choice say something inflammatory. As a scientist, I would like to make sure to note that all of these works were created to explore new ideas and advance science. Please understand that the intent of these works is never to cause harm for humans, but to create useful tools and extend the perimeter of our knowledge. So, where do we go from here? How do we address potentially nefarious applications of these techniques? The first step is educating the people. Everyone needs to be vigilant about the fact that these methods exist. This is why I am here today, and I also try to help with this by running an educational video series by the name 2-Minute Papers. It currently has close to 300 videos, and I endeavor to do as many more of them as I possibly can. I also encourage you to join more than 9 million other viewers and check out the series by searching for the term 2-Minute Papers. Also, watching these videos and recommending them to your peers. We have to make sure that everyone knows about the existence of these techniques.